So I'm going to begin today's sermon a little differently. I want your minds and your hearts focused. I'm going to begin by reading a letter, so I want you to listen carefully. The letter is from one person who is dependent upon another. And the writer of the letter is older, and the recipient of the letter is younger. Dear younger, I'm writing you this letter because I need you. I need you to make things better for me. I need you to look out for me. I know that you love me. At least you say you do. But I'm giving you this chance to show me. You hold all the cards in this relationship. You have all the power. Please use that power for good to make my life better. The way you feel and the choices that you make and the actions that you take because of how you feel, they all impact me. I'm depending on you to see me, to feel my pain, to care about my hopes. I'm asking you to do right by me because I deserve it and because God would want you to. You know me, or at least you know of me, but you haven't actually met me yet. But I know you. And I don't want your fears and your momentary desires to dominate you and cause you to forget about me. So please love me. Please invest in me. And please sacrifice for me. And if you do, you will be glad that you did. Sincerely, older. Now, each one of us, as I read that letter, probably has our own picture in our minds, right? The words paint a picture. But here's what I will tell you. That letter is written to you. It was written to you, to you, to you, to you, to you, to every single one of you. And the letter is written by the future you. You in the future, asking, begging, pleading, depending on you now for the future you to be all right, for the future you to have the best life that God called for, the least troubles, the least headaches, because Jesus lives, not because I have that house, because Jesus lives, not because I have that car, because Jesus lived, not because I got married, because Jesus lived, not because I got the degree, because Jesus lived, I can face tomorrow. So please, younger me, do right by me, care about me, invest in me, sacrifice today for me, because I'm totally and utterly dependent on you and your decisions. Oh, but you feel a certain way right now, or you're embarrassed right now, or you're fearful right now. I'm asking you to look past your feelings and do the right thing today for me, because I have no choice. You have all the cards. You have all the control. You can give in to your feelings, your emotions, your weaknesses, or you can do the right thing today, because I'm sitting over here and tomorrow and I'm going to feel all the pain because of what you said, because of what you did, or because of what you could not press through without giving in. The way that you can show your love and allow the future you to have a better life is to do the right thing now. And that requires wisdom. It requires you to seek wisdom. It requires you to embrace wisdom. And then it requires you to act on wisdom. Amen? Amen. So our text does come from Proverbs. Pastor Trina did not know about my message. And again, it's a single verse. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 27. Proverbs 24, verse 27. You say you love yourself. I'm sure you do. But can you show that you love yourself by doing the right thing today so that the future you won't have the headaches and heartaches that they can be avoided? So that's Proverbs 24, 27. Amen, amen, amen. Let me get to it. 24 and 27. Let's read it all together. Prepare thy work without. Make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. There you go. That's a lot. But you read it, and I don't know if you immediately think you know what it means. Most would not. But what is our first question? This is Proverbs. What is the subject? What is the topic? Absolutely. That's the first question we ask. But you know, you can't get the answer to that question if you don't understand what you're reading. So let's break it down just a little bit. First of all, it says, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and then afterwards build thine house. So what does prepare mean? We think we know. But in this case, they chose the word prepare, but it's very deceptive. That word actually means to establish or to make firm, to solidify. If you don't get this word right, you will start to think things that will lead you to the wrong conclusion, and actually you won't get wisdom. You'll get something that justifies what you want to do. And you'll be doing this while you're worried about that. You'll think this is a vehicle to what you want instead of doing this because God told you to do this. You won't do it the same. If you're just obeying God versus this is just a means to an end I'm looking for, you will not do it the same. You will not worship God the same if you worship him because you saw some scripture that said if you do that, he'll do something for you, as opposed to if you worship him because of who he is. So prepare is the word that was chosen in the King James, but it means to establish, to make firm, and to solidify. So he says, prepare thy work without. What does that mean? That just means outside. But like Pastor Sister Laquisha said, we're talking about an agrarian society. Outside, in this case, pertains to the field. So make firm, establish what is in the field. Okay? So prepare thy work without. And then he says, make it fit for thyself. What in the world does that mean? It means make it ready or destined. In other words, work it so that it is assured to have the desired outcome. When you understand those things, when you break down the translation, then you can start to see what he's getting at. The topic or the subject, at the most general terms, at the highest level, is merely doing one thing before you do another. Pretty simple. Sister Pastor Trina and Sister Michelle, they had to apply to college before they could go to college, and they had to go to the classes before they could take the test, and they had to take the test before they could take another test. And they had to take all those tests before they could get their degree. Are you guys hearing me?
Yes.
I think you might. So the larger topic is we want to make it deep. We want to get ahead of ourselves, but it is saying to do one thing versus another. Now, ultimately, as you get more specific, he is saying merely do first things first. This is Proverbs, right? Wisdom, right? We care about the future us, right? What can we do to prove that love to the future us? Do first things first. We want to get ahead. Let me just tell you, if you look at anybody and they have self-created headaches, almost in every situation is because they didn't do first things first. They got ahead of themselves. They let their desires, their wants, their sense of self-inadequacies cause them to make bad decisions. to have what they should have 10 years from now, but they had to have it now because somebody else had it. And somebody made it possible that was not working in wisdom. They listened to the wrong voice. Your future self is begging you to listen to the right voice today. Solomon is essentially saying, be sure to do the work necessary to ensure that your fields will produce the intended outcome. Be sure to work the field so that you can eat. Is that complicated? Be sure to cultivate the field so that you can eat. He says, then what? Afterwards. He says, do first things first. Do the most important things first. The most not fun things first. But then afterwards, build your house. Now, back then and now, we all love houses if you think about it. When they were going back to Israel after they'd been in Babylonian and then Medo-Persian captivity, the Jews, they had to go back in Nehemiah, and they had to go back to try to build up the temple, right? And what was going on? It was in tatters. It was in a shambles. Why? Because the people, when they did go back, they focused on building them nice houses. And they neglected the house of the Lord. It's not they didn't have building materials. It's not that God hadn't blessed them to be able to go back and to have stuff and have substance. But they watched the house of the Lord sit there in tatters while they built up all these nice edifices for themselves. They didn't do first things first. So he says, make sure that the basics, that your field will produce its intended outcome then afterwards. But we love houses. And so what we want is for the topic to be house building. And so you can misinterpret this to think that what God is saying is make sure you have all of your preparations together in advance so that you can build your house. And some theologians and commentators will take that wrong turn and say, well, what Solomon was really trying to say is, you know, just like when I collected all the stuff when I built the first temple, you know how wonderful that was. I just want you to build, get all your stuff together. And Jesus has a parable where he says, well, wouldn't you get all your stuff together before you start building the house? Because if not, you'll have the house, you'll be half done, and you'll look stupid. The context that he said that in was when he told them, come on and follow me, and they say, I got to do all this stuff. He said, you know what? Mm-mm. You don't have first things first. What is most important? Focus on that first. Amen? Tap your neighbor on the shoulder if you can reach him. We don't have that many people in here. And just remind them that he said afterwards. 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 Oh, yeah, you can have a house, but first things first. And you're not doing it to prepare for buying a house. He's saying do this before that. Why? Do you need to eat? I think we all need to eat, right? He is telling you to establish your ability to feed yourself, then build your house. Not the other way around. I don't know if you're really getting it. Amen. He's saying establish your ability to feed yourself. He says it in interesting words. Before you build your house. Why do you think he feels the need to tell us to do that? Why did he waste his time saying, make sure that your field is going to produce? Because if you don't, you will not eat. And he got to tell you to do that first before you build the house. Why would he drop this pearl of wisdom on you and on me? Why would he write that? Because he knows our nature. When God blessed Solomon to have all of this wisdom, what he blessed him with was an understanding of us. And this is why when the two women, one was lying and one was telling the truth about the baby, and he had to decide, well, whose baby is it? And he did not know. Well, his solution was this. I know your nature. I know a mother's nature. God has taught me that. He didn't have to teach me all the details. I didn't have to get a microphone and hear the conversation. I didn't have to do a DNA test to find out whose child it was. All I had to know is the nature of a loving mother. I'll tell you what. Cut them in half. You take half. You take the other half. Why? Because a mother's love will be sacrificial. She will give the baby up before she'll let the baby be hurt. That's a mother's love. It's not selfish. If you know the nature of something, you know the question to ask. So if you know that people will want to build a house, they will want to justify building the house before they handle the other business, that's why you got to sit them down and say, baby, can I talk to you? Could you make sure you can eat first? Now, some theologians and commentators will take this to mean, and certainly you can apply it this way, but it's really not what it's talking about. They take it to mean that you ought to make sure you got monies before you get married, men. Some say that that's what they were trying to say. I have to admit, that is a first things first thing. But he wasn't, what he's trying to say is make sure that you handle your ability to eat. Make sure that you have the wherewithal to sustain yourself before you do the luxurious things. But you say, well, wait a minute. Food, shelter, clothing, right? A house is as important as eating, right? You can die from exposure just as much as you can die from starvation. The first thing you'll die from is dehydration. Well, here's the thing. He knew his audience. In that place, at that time, just like we have right now. Yeah, a house is important, but you know what? A tent is just as good. But we'll justify a house. In a temperate climate, you can live in a tent. The homeless do it all the time. But we got to have a house. We will justify a house. So do we get the bigger house than we should have? Yes. Do we get the house before we should have? Yes. Do we get the house we can't afford? Yes. Do we put more money into the house so that it look good so we have people over and all? Yes. And you could do just as much with a tent. But you want to build a house, and you start building it before you even ensure that you and your family can eat. So you end up what? House what? House poor. Or with a house and hungry. With a house and eating noodles. At least you got noodles. Make sure you can at least get some noodles before you build a house. So the underlying question to the person who needs to hear this proverb and might not want to hear this proverb, because proverbs always tell you, by the way, wisdom always tells you to do something you don't want to do. It's what's wrong with a tent? What's wrong with a tent? Because you got to conclude that there's something wrong with a tent to do something stupid like building a house before you make sure you can eat. In your mind, what are the things that you're saying to yourself? What is it that you're listening to someone else tell you that gets you to conclude that that tent isn't good enough? So that you put your energy, your resources, your time into that, and it steals away from the thing that really matters. What is it in your life? Forget about eating in tents. What it is in your life that you allow yourself to invest in that takes away from the most important thing? First things first. Are you hearing me? Amen. So I know we want a house. We want it because we want something bigger. We want it because we want something more impressive. We want it because we want something more permanent. Belongs to us, even though in our case, not really. Mortgage. Just like mortuary. It all comes from the same source. Amen? Amen? So we rationalize wanting the bigger, more impressive, more permanent thing. And we end up house poor. If we do first things first, we always end up better off people. And if our nature was to do the thing that was in our long-term best interest, if in our nature, if your natural fleshly desires, the way you are without trying, what would actually result in, would cause you to do the things, to act on the things, to think the way that would be in your long-term best interests, we would not need wisdom. We would not need Proverbs. But you need a proverb to protect you from yourself. You need a proverb. We need Proverbs to tell us what should be obvious. But we need Proverbs to compete with our rationalizations. But what will you listen to, your rationalization voice or Proverbs? I can tell you that wisdom is wasted on the wise. I can tell you that. Wisdom is heaped up in a big old storehouse. Nobody visits it. Because we can get away with, for a while, doing what we want to do instead of following wisdom. And here's the thing. There is collateral damage. The future you. The future you, which could be the present you, looking back on, man, if I had just listened. Man, if I had just gutted it out. Man, if I had just waited one more month, Mr. Wright was actually coming. If I'd have just waited just a little while longer, if I'd have invested just a little more in what really mattered, because all the people I was trying to impress, I don't even talk to them anymore. They're not even in my life. Those that listen to wisdom, they are the tortoise. They always end up winning. Because there ain't no future in the hare's front. And yet we're constantly being the hare. And we just talk to other hares to justify to make ourselves feel better. So we wouldn't need Proverbs. But my request to you, my suggestion to you today, is that you do your future self a favor. And do first things first. Let's give the Lord a hand praise. Hallelujah. 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 Make the most important things the priority. And do not rationalize. Do not listen to your wrong self. Because you don't need a separate voice. You got one in your hip pocket that's there to tell you what you want to hear. You got an itching ear yourself. We have itching ears ourselves. You know what? We don't need a false prophet. We got ourselves. Our desires, what we want now. That's all we need. So please, 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 do your future self a favor. It could be yourself a week from now. It could be yourself a month from now. It could be years down the road. Do the right thing today. What's the right thing, Pastor? The thing you don't want to do. What's the right thing, Pastor? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. That thing you're ready to blow right through that red light. You're ready to go right over that cliff, assuming you're going to be that one that survives the fall. God loves us enough to leave us the book of Proverbs. He loves us enough to put people in our lives that drop Proverbs that ain't written down. Amen. Wisdom is usually wasted on the wise. Will it be wasted on us? We have an opportunity right now to make a better life for our future selves. Mm-hmm.